So we're just doing part two here of Performing Edge Coaching International, and it's August 23rd. So I was just going to talk about some marketing techniques, and both online and offline. And it's amazing how there are opportunities around us all the time if we just open our eyes and look and just are aware of what's going on around us. And I'll give you an example of that, what happened to me. I was just flying back from Salt Lake City on Saturday. I just went up there for a short trip to give a talk at a convention. And I was flying back from Salt Lake City to the Oakland airport. And I just got back, got off the plane and walked down to the baggage area. Just so all of us, hundreds of people are all waiting in the baggage area to find out where our bags are going to be. They didn't have the carousel even listed yet. So, it was a little bit of a delay. And I'm looking over to my right, and I said, God, that looks like Steve Young. And I thought, is that, Steve Young from the quarterback from the 49ers who proceeded, who went after Joe Montana. And I thought, no, I can't be Steve Young. No, that's you only see him on TV, those kind of people, right? Probably somebody just looks like Steve Young. But then I kept looking at him. I thought, God, that just sure does look like Steve Young. And I thought, I said, what do I do? That would be a great opportunity to say hi, say hello. But, somebody like that probably only flies first class, and they've got bodyguards and all kinds of stuff. But then I thought, well, what the heck? If you never ask, the answer is always no, right? So he was with his family there, his wife and kid. So I just asked his wife there, is that Steve Young? And she says, yes. So she went to get the baggage, and I walked up to him and said, and the key thing is, in that moment, while I was asking her, I thought, oh, this is Steve Young. I've got to get out my camera, right? I happen to have my video camera with me since I was up at this conference. And so I got it out of the case, and I had it in my hand ready. And I took a few deep breaths, and I'm a little nervous. But I thought, I'm not going to talk to him like a super fan, like, oh, my gosh, like he's God, because that's how everyone else talks to him, right? I want to just talk to him like a regular person, or just like a peer. And so I just walked up to him and I said, oh, hi, Steve. I'm Dr. Joanne Dahlketter. I'm at, sports psychologist, associated with Stanford. I just got back from the Olympics, the London Olympics, working with my athletes. So he goes, wow, really? Well, who are you working with? And we just started this conversation. And he says to me, wow, God, I wish I'd had you 20 years ago. I would have had two Olympic gold medals. And I said to him, can I just do a quick interview with you on my video here? And he goes, oh, sure. And so I pointed the camera at him, and I just said, hi, Steve. I'm here with Dr. Joanne Dahlketter here with Steve Young. And Steve, did you do it when you were, quarterback for the 49ers and got to lead them to the Super Bowl? What kind of visualizations or mental training did you do? And he says, I guess I wish I would have done a lot more. He said, if I'd had you 20 years ago, I would have had two Olympic gold medals. And he said that into the video. Is that cool or what? And I just, and then I asked him, can you, are you here at Stanford? He said, yeah, I'm on the Stanford University board. And I said, I'd love to do a follow-up interview with you by phone or something. And is there an email I could reach you at? And he gave me his email. And he belongs to, he has a foundation, foreveryoung.org, something that he's, that's his own foundation that supports kids with emotional, physical problems. So he said, I said, I'd love to donate some of my books to your organization, too. That's one of the things you can do with books. If you have a book, to sort of give them your book, several of them, you know, usually that can help you get in with an organization or with a celebrity or individual if you're interested. So now I'm looking to do a follow-up interview with him. And that's a marketing situation where I also asked someone to I handed my camera to someone and said, "Could I get a picture with you?" And they took a picture with me and Steve Young. So here's a situation. I hadn't even planned on this at all. Had no idea. If I hadn't looked around and just had my eyes open and, you know, been aware of what's going on, you know, most people stand at the baggage area just frustrated because they're taking so long to get the bags. But I just looked around and there's somebody who's, a legend in the football world, and a really nice guy as well. And he's just there with his family, and he was flying back from something in Salt Lake City. So, we had a nice conversation and opened up the door to, of course, it's hard to get to people like that, you know, celebrities, but it's a way to be able to, I could take that video then and just put it on my website and have that there. You know, that's like a little short testimonial, and then do this follow-up interview and put that on the website, and that's tremendous marketing and building credibility. And you could do the same thing with, someone who's either it's a celebrity or maybe it's just someone who's respected in your community, a coach or an orthopedic surgeon or a sports physician, someone that you want to get to know. You could ask them for an interview. And sometimes, at various events that you might be at, just look around and there might be someone there that's really, influential or has a huge credibility. And if you can get your picture with them and also do a short video, it's much better to do it on the spot, even if you're kind of nervous and scared, think, gosh, should I be doing this? I mean, the worst that can happen is they could say, no, sorry, I don't have time, but it's no big deal. But most of the time, if someone's just kind of standing around, they'll be happy to do that, to do a quick interview, even if it's 30 seconds or so. Just ask them one question, ask them something about mental training. What do you do as an athlete for mental training, or one of your coaches that you work with, coach that you'd like to get referrals from for clients? You could interview them. After I did the bike accident, I interviewed my orthopedic surgeon down in Santa Barbara, and that helped to get referrals. So there's lots of ways to get, to use the opportunities that we have out there and just people we have in contact with. So that's an example of an offline marketing strategy that I hadn't even planned on doing. It just, when opportunities present themselves, it's so good to always have a camera. You probably most of you have your iPhone with you or a smartphone of some sort and that has a video option on it. So know how to use it quickly, and then always have a question in mind that you could ask someone for an interview. And there's an instant marketing opportunity right there. And so since I got to know Steve a little bit, I went to his website and I found out he's doing an event in October, a fundraiser or something. So maybe I'll go there and just try to, I could do a quick, if I can't get this phone interview, I could do a quick follow-up interview there right at the event. Then you could, I could donate books or a small amount of money to his organization to become part of that. And that's a way that you could get to know other people of influence like that. So, things like that can really help your business and just build a name for yourself. Is there anybody have questions about that part or any reactions? I was just opening up the lines here. Are you guys all asleep?
I don't have any questions.
Okay.
My problem is trying not to be that sort of, I don't know who this guy was and I'm not a football fan, but I met this really amazing ultra marathon runner the other night at a pub, and she won the 100K world. And I was like, oh my God, you're Amy Frohston. And I just, like, all the intelligence left my head at that moment. I was like, she's right here in front of me, like this woman who I just completely, you know, I just so admire. And so I think maybe it just comes with time. Like, it sounds like you, I mean, you work with pretty well-known athletes a lot, so that's kind of the thing where I'm like, yeah, I just make a fool of myself because I'm like, oh my God, really, it's you.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So,
which,
anyway, if you have any ideas on how I can get over that, get over myself on that.
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of visualizing. Well, take a deep breath like I did with Steve Young. I thought, oh, my God, what do I say to him? Oh, God, if I don't say something, he's going to leave in a second, get his bags and leave. I thought, oh, this is a huge opportunity. So I just took a deep breath, and I said, okay, what do I say? What do I say? and I just thought of a question. I thought, well, I'll just introduce myself and try to be just a normal. I think of him as a normal person, just an average person, as opposed to putting him way up on a pedestal. Which, of course, he is. He's a real legend in football. And, yeah, and I don't – football is not my expertise either, so I wouldn't know how to call a play or know any of the specifics, the technical stuff about football. But I know that Steve Young is, you know, he led the 49ers to the Super Bowl and is very well known. And so he's – I just thought, well, if I can just you know, talk to him as a normal person. Just ask him a question. If you ask someone a question, usually that kind of gets you off the hook, and or it gets them talking, and then all of a sudden you relate to them or can connect with them. So, yeah, just okay. Yeah, just take a deep breath, and then just have one question in mind. Even write it down so you got it in your head. Like, yeah, how did you achieve this? If you know something about them, yeah, you just won this race. You know, how did you pull that off, or how did you compare that to some other race that you did? You know, just something like that. Then they start talking, and then it kind of takes eases the pressure. Yeah, I don't know. Amy, are you there? Do you have any suggestions about that, or questions about how to approach people?
I am here. I'm sorry. I am multitasking.
Oh, that's okay.
But I've been listening, and I wanted to actually share a story about something that happened that is related to the injuries that we were talking about.
Okay.
I had a meeting with the artistic director of the Pennsylvania Ballet the other day, and I brought your book in, and I told him I was one of your coaches, and we were. And one of the things that came up is one of their principal dancers, who's been there for a long, long time and has been really well known. She just retired, and she's become one of their lead teachers for the kids.
Uh-huh.
And he was telling me that she made it through her entire career until she was about 30. Without having any major injuries, but when she was 30, she developed one, and he said he was absolutely blown away at how difficult it was for her. She had no idea how to handle it, and so we got into one of these conversations about, well, wouldn't that be a great idea to discuss this and to go into this issue with the dancers before it happens, so that they're better equipped to deal with the possibility of, okay, when I get injured, I probably will get injured at some point, how am I going to cope with it, so that they're ready in advance of it. And so he was really, really interested in the whole thing about recovery and injury and things like that.
Wow, that's great. Yeah. So did you talk to him about that part?
Yeah, I talked to him about that. I made a proposal, and that was one of the topic points, the injuries. And he actually, while we were on the phone, just emailed me and is putting me in touch with their physical therapist because he wants me to do some type of a wellness program with them. So I was really excited. But he liked the idea of your program, and I gave him, you know, I told him who you were and showed him the book and everything. So I felt good that I had that tool to talk about with them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, thanks. That's great that you can do that. I think that's fantastic to do a kind of an injury awareness program or injury prevention, and teaching people how to prevent injuries in the first place and then what to do if they happen. Because the problem is with most athletes, they you know, we just want to keep going. And if you feel a little bit of pain here and there, you think, oh, it's not a big deal. I'll just train through it. And then it gets worse. And then it's kind of going into denial. And I have that whole chapter in there in my book about that, about sort of being in denial of injury. And yeah, you keep training through it anyway. And then it gets worse and worse. And then to the point where you have to stop. And it can be really devastating for a lot of people, and so it's really great to be able to have tools and have these tools, the mental tools as well as physical tools, you know, teaching people how to do alternative activities like the pool. Most people would say, oh my gosh, the pool, I hate the pool, or I'd never go in a swimming pool. And then once you're in there, you realize, geez, you know, this is really a great therapy tool and fantastic way to still get a great workout, not gain weight, and to feel good while you're and still keep your body, you know, flexible and all that, while you're overcoming an injury or something. So yeah, especially dancers, and this is for dancers, you're saying, Amy?
Yeah, they have a very good program there. They have the professional dancers from the ballet, and then they have a school where they take kids when they're young and they start training them. They can live there, and so he would want me to work with the dancers that were the really, really good prospects before they get into the Pennsylvania Ballet, and work on a lot of the, you know, the visualizations and the mental, the positive imagery and things like that.
Yeah, so you could include something like that chapter in the book in your Performing Edge book on listening to the wisdom of your body, and because some athletes, I mean, we're taught, I think most athletes sort of, you know, if you're in a race or a competition, to sort of ignore, you know, you just do whatever it takes to compete and to get to the finish line or get to the, or finish your event and ignore the pain kind of thing. But when you're training, it's really important to tune in to that sort of thing and notice the little tweaks and little things that are happening. You know, I'm sure TJ would agree with as a massage therapist, that you have to notice the little things that happen and try to deal with them through massage and stretching, and then through our Performing Edge coaching techniques here, you know, visualize that the little parts, those things, visualize healing and giving your body good energy. Kind of thing, like before I go to bed at night, with my knee, I'll just say, send my knee good energy and say, okay, I'm healing. Because yeah, a lot of healing goes on at nighttime, you know, right before you go to sleep, and or as you're sleeping for those 8 hours. So why not give yourself a positive suggestion of healing to enhance that? You know, give just imagine that you're all the cells and all the ligaments and tendons are like, they're like elastic bands that are flexible and are working just right. All of that good energy there, as opposed to saying, we usually say to ourselves, oh, I hate my knee, or I hate my this part of my body that's not performing well. So yeah, that's great. Congratulations, Amy. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's exciting. I think it could be. I mean, if I could be a part of creating some type of a wellness program for the dancers with the physical therapist, it would be really exciting work for me.
Yeah, to create an overall, because most real competitive dancers or other events, athletics, get so there's so much stress involved in the sport itself. That the wellness part kind of goes out the window, or they sometimes it's the competition is so great that it creates it sometimes people aren't that healthy or well, so that's great. In fact, I wanted to give you an update. Speaking of that, an update on, you know, Shannon Roberry, who is the you know, one athlete I was working with at the Olympics. Yeah, she, she's running the 1500 meters, and she, got through the quarterfinals, and then the semifinals, and made it to the finals. and then she ended up getting sixth place in the Olympics, and she really wanted that medal, and so she was really said she was really upset afterward and frustrated, and so we talked about it, and it sounds like she and this is like real stuff that happens in the real world out there, so I want to share this with you. It's that she was saying that the first two, three women were just coming off of drug bans. So, I guess there was a Turkish woman that got first and second, which is kind of odd that they would both, get first and second place. And then the third or fourth place woman was Russian, and they had just been banned for drugs the year before or so. And so, she was really suspect of that and thinking that they're probably, using drugs again. And so the drug takers are always ahead of the drug testers. And so they just probably haven't come up with tests to figure out what they're using yet. And so she was feeling like, just angry at that situation. And so we talked about it. And she just needed a chance to vent, I think. And I don't know if it... if you guys in that situation might come up at high level, there are some athletes that are that are using drugs, and it's frustrating when you think you're running clean, and she's a very clean athlete herself, and thinking that other people might be cheating, and it can get in the way of your of performance. But what I said to her that you need to just focus on what you can control, and you don't know that they're taking drugs now. They may be clean, she needed just a chance to get out all her frustrations about that, and so we just talked about that and gave her, and she used that anger and that frustration and actually ended up four days later she went to Albi, France and ran a big race there and actually ended up winning the race. So she was really happy that she was able to rebound back and do really well at that race. And then she went to Stockholm 2 days later with the Diamond League race and got fourth place there. So she's really doing well, on a roll now to do as well as she can for these next five or six races in Europe. And so sometimes a frustrating situation, you can take that anger and help your athletes to take a frustration and anger and do something really positive with it, go for it. And be really happy and really content in the fact that you're running clean, that you're not, not taking drugs, no matter what anyone else is doing. Because other athletes that might be doing that, they've got a lot of, imagine the stress that's going on, too. They're always worried about getting caught. And oftentimes they can get caught retroactively down the road. They might get, if they discover, they keep the urine samples for 8 years. And so like the Balco case out here, like Marion Jones got her, five Olympic gold medals taken away many years later because they came up with a test to test for her, what she was taking several years ago. So, those athletes might end up getting caught anyway. Who knows? Yeah, Shannon could end up with a medal down the road. So, but you can't, count on that. But you just have to focus on what you're doing and have that confidence to separate out what you can't control from what you can and really work on yourself and your own abilities. And I think that's something that each athlete can be proud of when you're running clean and also I emphasized to her that she's got these performing edge coaching techniques, and she's got a sports psychologist myself that she's working with that to work on the mental edge, which is so powerful. Many athletes don't have that. So she's got something that's just as powerful, even maybe more powerful than what anyone else is doing out there. So I was emphasizing that to her. That's the update on her. I wanted to talk about your you know, market, other marketing techniques on, so we're talking about offline stuff here, and then we can talk about, let's talk a little bit about online marketing, and then we can continue this next time as well. Our next call would be on September 13th, the second, so it's the second, fourth Thursday of the month at this time at 10 a.m. But one of the things I wanted to mention was with your website, I know several of you were in different places with websites. Some of you have websites up. Some of you don't have that. Don't have websites up yet. Some are working on it. And so we can talk more about the specifics of how to do that next time. WordPress is the best. I highly recommend WordPress, which is free. It's that WordPress is a software program that just and you go to WordPress.org, not WordPress.com, but go to, because that's their own hosting. You want to have your own website, WordPress.org, to get your website up. And then just talk a little bit about the. With marketing, you want to have, really good use of keywords on your site. So even if this applies, if you're just working on a website or if you are already have one up, you can always improve it by a couple of things: using keywords in the right way, and then also using content, getting your fresh content up there correctly, because those are the two things that Google and the search engines are always looking for, is people are searching on certain keywords. And so you may ask, well, what is a keyword? Well, when someone's searching on for information on the web, they usually type in, visit a search engine like Google or Bing or Yahoo or MSN and type in some words describing what they're looking for. So for and then the search engine checks its database and it returns the results, listing the pages that meet those words that are submitted. So if somebody types in mental training, or let's say for Amy, they might type in dancing psychology or something like that, then you want to have those words on your website. For Sue, you want to type, put in healing injuries and healing psychology. If you have a specific sport, like Anna, yours is basketball, I think you could put in basketball psychology, or youth, young sports, mental training, TJ, putting in, and then performance coaching, performing edge, those are all good keywords. Anything that you think people are typing in, and you can go to, if you go type in Google, a keyword suggestion tool, it'll take you to this tool that gives you a way to, then you can type in different words that you think people might be typing in, and it will give you other suggestions. It'll show you how many people are typing that word in, and those keywords, and then and it'll give you other suggestions of other words they're typing in, and how the frequency of those as well. So you want to do a little bit of that research so that you're using the words that people are typing in. There's long sort of keywords, is maybe one or two words, and then there's what's called long tail keywords, which is a phrase of, say, 3 to 5 words. And those are actually just as valuable or more valuable if you can get put in those long tail keywords, those actual phrases, like someone might type in how to do mental training, or how to do visualization, and if you put those words in your titles and your in the body of your articles, in the tags, which are the on WordPress, there's a place to put what's called tags, which are like keywords. You can put those in, and then Google and the other search engines will pick up on those, and so you'll be found much more easily. So keywords are basically whatever you do in your business. So think about your target market. And think about the questions that they might ask, like how, you know, the knee injury thing, like Sue was talking about, and TJ, how to overcome sports injuries, or how to deal with a knee injury, or mental aspects of injury, those kind of things. You could put those in on your website. And so why keywords are important is that keywords are important as they can be used successfully in conjunction with the search engines, so they provide you with a free source of targeted traffic. So basically, you know, you're not having to pay anything for. We used to have to pay thousands of dollars for advertising for people to find us, and now the keywords, they enable people who need your services, your coaching services, or your products or information, they can find you really easily this way. So it's just, we live in the best possible time, because just over the Olympics period, just using the right keywords, when I did that on my website, I was blogging I was doing that a lot more frequently, putting up articles, and each time I would, there's a direct correlation between the number of times I would put up a post, blog post, or an article, and how many interviews I would get. And I got on NBC TV 5 times. I was interviewed by Time Magazine, by Entrepreneur Magazine, and by Bloomberg Business Week, and also Huffington Post, and got asked to be a writer for Huffington Post. So all those things happened as a result of, I didn't pay anyone to do that. I didn't even put out press releases. I didn't pay for Google AdWords or any of that stuff. All I did was, it was all free. Adding articles on my blog, every couple, 2 or 3 days. And the search engines were able to find those, and then people said, well, they were just typing in the keywords that I put up there, and they were able to find me. They weren't typing on my name per se, Dr. Joanne Dahlketter. They were typing in things like mental training or performance coaching or sports. So and they were able to find me that way. So the appropriate keywords, you can think of them like a telephone number for your business, and the search engine is like a telephone book. It lists your name and your number. So the search engine is like this big, huge phone book, and you just have your keywords there, and then people can easily find you. So it's just a great way to do that. So you don't want to overload your, you don't want to say mental training every 2 seconds in your article. You want to use them in a natural kind of way. But think of it as a top-down sort of thing. The search engines read from the top to the bottom. So if you can put your keywords like mental training in your title, and then also in the first 3 to 5 words of the title, first 3 to 5 words of your first sentence, and then after that, just write naturally, and you can include keywords here and there along the way, that you don't have to pack them in there, because then if that's all it is keywords, the search engines will pick up on that. They won't give your site credit for that. They just want, because they're also looking for good content. So this way, if someone hasn't heard of you, or they need your help, they can still find you through these keywords. So you want to list the words and the phrases on your web pages, and the more specific your keywords, the better. Like running psychology for people over 50, if that's your target audience, then if you give a specific group like that, it's great. If you have a specific sport, a specific age group, a specific area, like I'll say San Francisco Bay Area, sports psychology, then people in this area will type in those words and will find me more easily. So if you're, Sue, if you're in San Jose, you might put San Jose healing and mental training. Daryl, you're back in New York. You might say New York, sports and psychology training for baseball, for football, whichever sports that you want to focus on. So if you just use single keywords, they're going to have a lot more competition for top ranking than phrases. So if you just say psychology, there's millions of searches for that, and you might get lost in the sea of people searching on things. But if you put in psychology, if you put in psychology for athletes or psychology for soccer, then you're going to get a lot more for psychology for confidence in swimming. Then you're going to get the specific group for that, and you could have an article. Let's say you work in three sports: swimming and cycling and running. Then you can have one article for each of those, so that you really get that targeted traffic there. So you want to have a mix of broad keywords, the longer keywords, and then the specific ones. So that way you can kind of cover the area, cover all the people that are searching for you. And those long phrases will attract that specific group, and that way any of the words that people type in that phrase, the search engines will pick up on. So most people might not. I mean, if you put in just life coach or something, if you're a life coach, millions of people are searching on that. But if you put in how to get through my a transition in my life, or how to get through, how I can be happier in my, or how I can meet my goals, that sort of thing is what people might be typing in, and you could catch more of a targeted audience that way. And then where to put your keywords, you want to place them in places like your title bar. So if you're in WordPress and you have your website, then there's a place for your title. There's a place for the actual title of the overall website. First, if you go on the left side of the bar, the administration area, it says general, and there's a place for the title there. So you want to put something that's relevant to what you do there, keywords. And then also in the title of each of your posts, which are the articles that you write, put the keywords in your titles there. And then also in the blog post, of course, the actual body of the article or blog. And then image files, like if you have a photo, there's a place in when you add a new photo to your library, to what's called the media library there, then there's a place that says title of the photo and description, so you can put your keywords there as well. And so what people don't even realize that when they're looking at a photo or they're clicking on a photo, or even if it's just there, search engines will pick up on that image file or the photo has those keywords behind it. So those are all good places to put your keywords. And then anchor text. And what anchor text is just words, a phrase that has keywords in it, that you just write, and then you just attach that to a link that goes to a page. So anchor text, instead of saying click, to go to my page on my coaching page, click here, and then it's better to say, as opposed to saying click here, say for coaching tips or something like that, put the keywords in that phrase, and then there's a way in WordPress that's very easy. You just select that text, and then you click on this little button that says link, and then it says where do you want it to go to, and then you put the http://www. let's say coaching page or something, and then you it will, when people click there, it'll link to your coaching page. So that's what anchor text is it's a phrase of words that hopefully has keywords in it, the words that people are searching on to find you, and then it links to a page goes to another page. So you want so you're, instead of just putting the actual link right there that says www right there, if you put anchor text, something that has keywords in it, people are more likely to click on it, and yet it still has the same effect of going to the, then click on it and go to the page that you want. So yeah, so I have more information about this, about websites and your what to do with your opt-in box, which is you know, a little box where people put their name and email to get something free from you in order to get your website up, and I'll talk about a little bit more about that next time. A good suggestion, what I use for the opt-in box is a service, my affiliate link is viprunning.com, so VIP, like very important person, viprunning.com, if you want to check that out, and we can talk more next time about how to use, how to create an opt-in box, and how to create a page, you know, an actual sales page for your coaching. So that people, and how to write really compelling content so people will want, so that your website can do the selling for you, can do a lot of the marketing for you, and you don't have to do as much work that way. So, yeah, so thanks everyone for coming. Let me just, yeah, I've got the lines open here. Do you have questions or anything you'd like to ask me at the end here?
Dr. Joanne, you said the next call was the 13th, so is it 3 weeks from now?
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's see. Let me just look here. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, you're right. Thank you for bringing that up. Because normally it's the second and fourth Thursday, but because I guess we happen to have a fifth Thursday this month because it's August here. I'll just do a go ahead and do a bonus call next week. Next Thursday, which would be August 30th. I'll do an extra one so that we don't have 3 weeks apart from them. So I'll go ahead and do like part two of this training next week. How's that sound? Thank you for bringing that up, Amy. Yeah, that sounds great. So that
I won't be available next week, but. I'll be on the next call.
Okay. Yeah, sounds great. Okay, so we'll just go ahead and do one next. Next Thursday, August 30th at the same time. And so we can get, more information about this. And then we'll go ahead and do one on the 13th of September. So, yeah, sounds great. Okay. Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. So I'll send you an email about, just a reminder about that too. Okay, and thanks, Susan.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Sue, for bringing up your great case, too. That was really great with the healing and injury, because that's something that is really relevant to all of us who are, and every athlete gets injured sooner or later, so we got to deal with that. So, all right, well, thanks, everyone, and we'll talk to you next week, next Thursday on the 30th. All right, have a good day.
Great, thank you. Thank you.